Relevant to you. Rise on Radio K Pulpit 729 AM. Finding God's truth for a way forward together. Good afternoon, family and friends, and welcome and thank you for joining me this afternoon on 729 AM on Radio K Pulpit. And I am Renette Meiberg, and today we have a wonderful guest in my studio with me today. We are going to talk about the autism spectrum disorder, and Louise Bowley is one of those that have been diagnosed with that, and she is such a brave, wonderful person that has really navigated her life in a very beautiful, successful way. So we are going to chat to her a little bit later, straight after this next song called Anchor by Bethel Music. And you know, as this theme I'm actually doing this month is about the challenges that youth actually have at school, and things that need to be picked up and maybe identified by parents. So I am so excited to chat to her straight after our song called by Bethel called Anchor. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me this afternoon. As you can hear, a lot of music playing. It has been such a blessing. And that was Anchor by Bethel House, and the Lord is our anchor. Thank the Lord for that. I've got Louise Bowley in the studio with me today. She was diagnosed in her adulthood with autism spectrum, on the autism spectrum disorder. And, you know, it's quite unusual life that she's had, and an incredible journey, how she navigated her life through this, because, you know, many children and many families do not know what they are looking at when they are at school, and teachers were a little bit, because how old are you now, Louise?
I am going to be 44 in exactly a month today, I think.
Fantastic. So, you know, at 44, I mean, you know, many years ago, it was not as common as it is today. And it is so workable, and there's so much success stories of people that have really navigated their lives well. And Louise is one of them. And she was born in Cape Town. And you must just listen to her story. So she's going to give us a few pointers on her journey and how she got to being diagnosed as autism. And she's going to give us a little bit of a background. So welcome, Louise. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Really appreciate it.
And Louise, come on. Now you have to tell everybody what you are: a teacher, you're an artist, you're a swimmer, you're forever studying. There is so many things that you have achieved in spite of the fact that you have got this condition. But you are such highly, uniquely, divinely orchestrated human beings created by the Lord. So tell us about your journey as a child, and the struggles and challenges and the pluses and the disadvantages that you experienced.
Okay, so I grew up in the southern suburbs of Cape Town. I was at a mainstream school. My mom worked, ironically, in a special needs school and didn't identify the autism in me at all. And she worked with people with cerebral palsy and all sorts of things, but she only spotted the ADHD. In school, I struggled a lot with relationships throughout my entire school and study. Just after school, it was relationships were always a struggle. And essentially with autism, it's about relating to people and sensory issues. Those are the main things. So light, and every autistic person is completely different. You cannot judge one autistic person on all of them, because, you know, like, there's this assumption that all autistic people are these IT geniuses, and that could not be further from the truth. Absolutely not. I have IT friends, yes, but that doesn't mean every single one of them is that. And also there's a different slightly different set of diagnosis criteria for autistic women and autistic men, because back 20, 30 years ago, they were treating, the reason why it wasn't spotted in women was because they were trying to match a diagnostic tool with men on the autism spectrum, and women present slightly differently. So actually the autism spectrum for women and men is also slightly different. So you cannot even make that judgment either.
That is very interesting. So, and schooling wise, what did you? How did you navigate your education?
With difficulty.
You went to a very good school.
Yeah. You see, that's the funny thing, is that going to a good school doesn't mean it's good for some of the pupils that are there. So, it's great. Yes, it is a good school. But it's just like if you put a musician, a piano player, into an academic school or one that's all sporty, they'll die, because they'll be like, "Where's my music?"
Okay. So yes, that is quite interesting. And then obviously you have had, and you said about relationships. So how did you get to, how old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was in my early 30s. So just going back to the question, because I didn't really answer it. In school, I had a major depression because I always felt I didn't belong. It was very, very difficult. I would miss the social cues like completely, and a few of my friends would try and remake me into an image that they felt acceptable. And they actually, that's when you do the makeover stuff, you know? So makeovers they do have their place, but if you have your friends doing a physical makeover once a year, every year for 3 years in a row, and you're the only one that's been done to, it makes you actually feel less than accepted and less than who you're meant to be. And it actually becomes damaging to your self-esteem, because unless you actually make that choice and the choice isn't made for you, it makes you feel that you're actually not accepted.
That is quite interesting that you're actually very vulnerable. And thank you for being so transparent about that, because I think many, many people might not even realize that they're on the spectrum. And, I just need to ask you, how did you feel, okay, every time somebody tried to reinvent you and not accept you as the way you were, what did you see as yourself in the mirror when you wake up in the morning that you should be and would like to be?
Well, the thing is, when you're a teenager, you're trying to form who you are, and that was just, it was a mess of a time. It was very difficult. So you're trying to, you know, I had major depression. I would spend, the only, you know, we had tiki boxes then, no cell phones. So I would actually phone Childline quite a bit in high school, because I had no one to actually talk to. And I think the one friend, the one time, she said, "No, you can talk to me about anything." And I did. And I think whatever I was going through was too much for her. And she never actually spoke to me again throughout high school. And she had a mini nervous breakdown.
Wow. Wow, that is quite daunting as well for a young person. And, you know, at the responsibility being included. So did you experience a lot of exclusion? Or was there support? Was there any support from the school in any way?
Well, the thing is, it's like sometimes you're included when it's convenient for everyone else. And we went through, there were quite a few guidance counselors in high school at that time. In other words, one would come and then another one would, you know, we went through our teachers like guidance counselors, like one every year or something that time, one or two every other year, which is not actually quite good for a school, because guidance counselors, you're meant to be able to trust them. And the one
takes time to build a rapport with them.
Yeah, yeah. And the one was known as an untrustworthy guidance counselor. So if you shared with her stuff, then you knew it would be all over the school the next week.
That is really sad. And that unfortunately happens in many, many schools, is that there isn't a structure. But I would like to encourage, the readers, the listeners, the listeners, is the fact that there is a support system right now that's been put into place. And
The support systems at that particular school are still not quite there, because my thing that I find very interesting is that where there are undiagnosed autistic people in mainstream schools, the actual mainstream schools are not even
equipped.
Well, not, it's not about being equipped. They don't have the knowledge to know that they should consider that they might be undiagnosed autistic students in their school. Because as a representative of the autism, my friend, she has a autism strategy network. We've done talks at schools over the last few years and everything else. And what I've found is, as being the contact person for the Autism Strategies Network, is that whenever I have a meeting with a new person who wants to belong to our social group and stuff like that, that in the teenagers that I've spoken to in the mainstream, X Model C schools, there not only isn't the support, it's like the principals and the governing bodies are not willing to take on educating themselves about it because they don't think it actually matters.
And do you think that it should be a criteria that should be considered? Because there aren't enough extra schools to accommodate children with special needs, because each child is so different. Eh? Each person is wide, functioning in a different spectrum.
Yeah, so the thing is that what I find very hard to bear is that even my old school, they'll educate on everything else. So they'll educate on gender and this and that, and they'll have workshops and everything else. The minute you mention autism, it's like, no, we don't need that.
And do you think it's because they're afraid of the responsibility that comes with it?
Yeah, but then how come they're not afraid of the gender debate and the whatever else there is going out there? They just want to, choose the flavor of the month. But the thing is, with autistic kids grow up to be autistic adults, and that's very difficult, because the other thing is with work, right? If we move a little bit onto that,
would appreciate that.
Yeah. So with jobs and stuff like that, many autistic people have very specialized skills. Like I have an inordinate thing with attention to detail. I spot the detail. I will go to a supermarket and I will spot when the people haven't been doing their jobs and putting the new prices up when they got new stock and the prices change. And there's one shop that's near me in particular, which are just not getting it right. But there was one when I used to be in the southern near Claremont, where they always got it right. They were like on the ball, and I can spot it immediately when the
And that is wonderful, because as you say, everybody's got their own strengths. And so you've tapped into that specific detail. So that is why you mentioned the fact that you do a lot of studying. And yes, you've tried many different courses and that type of thing. So very brave, I must say.
Well, some have been in the art of necessity rather than choice.
Why would you say that?
Because when you struggle with relating to people, and the only way to climb the corporate ladder is having a extroverted personality and knowing how to talk to people in the right way, then you climb the corporate ladder, or any ladder in any normal job. I remember I was working at a call center years ago, and the job in that 7 years when I stayed in Mowbray, those jobs happen out of necessity, not out of desperation and necessity, not out of a choice. And when I was at that job, I got there was a lot of nepotism and discrimination of other employees against other ones. So if you were friends with the manager, you got all the nice shifts. And I remember the one time the friend of the manager did the same violation as I did. And then I lost my income for an entire week because I was unscheduled. But that same other person that did the same exact violation got scheduled their normal shifts for the next week.
Okay, so out there we are sitting with a problem of a lot of discrimination and a lot of tagging and labeling. And then there are certain expectations that aren't realistic and not understood. That's what I'm hearing right now.
Yeah.
Not understood.
Yeah.
So for me, it is really a problem. So, you know, in the next couple of weeks, I'm really going to be covering these areas in conjunction with what if your child is being diagnosed with a condition of, you know, a disorder. And I really don't like the word disorder because it's actually God's order, and specifically, you know, for a person that has been chosen to be, you know, that the Lord has really given that to, because this is such a learning tool for me, even sitting on the side of the, on this side of the studio, is the fact that we need to continuously be aware of how we include people and understand and actually take the trouble to understand, take the effort to understand and a person with that has a different personality and different character traits. But I think we're going to listen to Never Love Never Fails, and that we know Jesus's love never fails. So we're going to listen to Brandon Heath with Love Never Fails, and we'll continue the conversation straight after that, Louise. Thank you for joining me. Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you so much for joining me this afternoon with Louise Bowley in the studio with me. She is on the autism spectrum disorder, and, you know, she's just giving her raw, honest truth about her life. I think it is very touching and very enlightening, to be honest, of the journey that you've had and the experiences you've had. And it is so hard for me to listen to how you've had to navigate your life to fit in somehow and to survive. And I didn't like those words that you used about survival. And that is not God's plan for us. So I want listeners, I want you to listen with an incredible heart, open heart and open mind. When you listen to Louise, she is writing a book shortly about her journey through life. It's going to be true and honest, as we all know her. We know her well in the ministry area. She's been such an inspiration to so many of us, and really a blessing. And she's going to do a swim from to Robben Island. So, Louise, just tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so just to backtrack, with the studies, I did a secretarial course, I did a hotel management course, I've done a complete teaching English as a foreign language course, I've done a ministry degree which was not accredited, so I'm hoping again to take up the ministry studies to get an accredited degree. And I've done I did a diploma in hospitality, but now in 2019, pre-pandemic, I screeched in and did my hospitality management degree. And yes, she's my friend. She is so right. I'm always learning. I'm always studying. I don't think in the time I've known her, then she'll be like, what, you're doing something else again? It's like, yeah, that's it. So the book is about my life. The Father laid it on my heart the last couple of years and everything. I have about 6,000 words already down, but it's just organizing it into my story. And he's already told me how I just have to get knuckled down and do the work, because writing a book is no joke. During last year, I was playing around with the idea of a new challenge to help me lose weight, because I'm not comfortable with the weight that I've gained from medication and other stuff. And the way my mind works, I can't, if I focus on the weight to lose the weight, it just doesn't work. So I decided, you know what, I love swimming. One of the most difficult challenges is to swim from Robben Island to Blouberg. The reason it's a challenge is because of the cold water. The water is usually between 10 and 14 degrees, 10 and 16. And I'm going to swim at Skins, which means no wetsuit. I'm training to do it around my birthday next year, 11th of June. My birthday's on the 12th. And my book, I'm busy posting on social media about my journey to Robben Island on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and my blog.
And I think we need to follow you on that because it's quite a journey. I mean, the things that you've experienced. And, you know, we just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you. And I just want those that are out there that did you hear all the things that she's achieved already. But at the end of the day, we need to be socially acceptable and understanding of our beautiful, beautiful gifts from God that have been put into our society to teach us actually how to behave and how to be and how to really dig deep into understanding people that are different. And, you know, knowing Louise has taught me so much, you know, my sister has also so much knowledge of this journey. And we are so grateful for, I've learned so much by being just friends with her and having to understand who she is and who she's become. We're so proud of you. And may God just continuously bless you and with great success that you may go from glory to glory from this day onwards, upwards and forwards, and that that society will start understanding. And please go and read up and look up, and there is so much amazing. They are so beautifully wired. They are so intelligent, and they're not that different. They just perceive life differently and see through different filters. And we all have our ways and the way we operate. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage our listeners: please be patient. Be inclusive and listen and learn, because you can listen and learn so much from all our little people that have got disorders. Yes, we sometimes don't know how to deal with it, but take the time. So I just want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Thank you for hearing from a babe's mouth of being different. But God has got such a beautiful and perfect plan for your life, Louise. Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And thank you for joining my event also at the end of last year with my cooking stuff. And
yes, you are so special.
So.
Okay, family and friends, thank you for being with me this afternoon, and we hope to chat to you next week. We've got Lunga Sitwa on my program, and she's an educational psychologist, and she's going to give us the lowdown of all these different disorders that can be navigated and identified in school, and that Louise didn't have to go through all this if she knew about the support that was there during the school, and you know, where life is just more acceptable and understanding. And, you know, so we are just going to discuss that next week. And I just want you to have a wonderful, blessed week this week. Winter's really creeping up on us. Look after yourself, be safe, and look after yourself health-wise as well. And do stick to the rules. And God bless you. And we've got Gilma Stander coming up on board, and she will be soon be presenting the news. And we'll see you next week. God bless. Thank you for joining me. Bye.